Good morning, everyone. Whoa. Yeah, you did turn me on, George, didn't you? Come on in, everyone. Take a seat. Come on in. Take a seat. We'll start this morning with a public service announcement. We're dealing with an issue with the plumbing. There's little notes in the bathroom saying, do not use the water. It's on now, and it's fine to use it. And that's it. Just ignore the notes if you see the notes there. And you notice that after the lightning strike hit our projector and everything last week, George and Nathan have put together what seems to be working fine. And that's anyway, so we thank the Lord for that. This morning, I think the Lord would have us look at a verse that I think we all know. It's in 1 John 4, beginning with verse 19. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Occurs to me that, let's face it, there's times that there's people in this world, whether they be brothers or just people that we meet on the street, that are a little hard to love. Right? As a friend of mine says, extra grace is required. But it also, what occurs to me, though, is that if I'm dealing with someone like that and I have trouble, you know, maybe I need to look at my relationship with my Lord, and that maybe I'm not spending enough time with him. Maybe I'm not feeling his love for me, or how much I should be loving him. Would you all stand and join me in prayer? Father, your word says that you are love, Lord. And when Jesus was asked about the greatest commandments, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so obviously, love is very important to you, Lord. So I ask that you'd help us this morning to love each other, to love you. Let our worship time be a time of love, Lord, a time that brings glory to you, Lord, and brings joy to our heart through the love that emanates through us. And I'm also reminded that we don't create love by ourselves. All we do is reflect the love that you give to us, and we thank you. In the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus. And all God's children said, amen.
Amen, amen. I'll read this psalm real quick. It's Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We're just talking about love and worship. I mean, everybody loves and worships something. And we're here this morning to declare that we are going to love and worship our God. So I want us all to stand and let's sing the song together. Light of the world.
Light of the world. You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am. Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, for so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came. on that cross, and I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Amen. We're here to worship the Lord. He is the way and the truth and the life. We're going to celebrate that. Thank God there is a way.
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress, for you are my portion, you are my hiding place. Oh, I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress. Oh, you are my portion, you are my hiding place. Oh, I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe through every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take, I believe that you are provider, you are protector, you are the one I love. 'Cause I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are.
It's a new horizon.
It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. You meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come too, because they can't stay long when I'm here with you. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. You meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come true, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are.
Amen. Father, we thank you for sending your Son, that he is the way and the truth, the life. We thank you that there is a way to be in your presence, to be in your kingdom, Lord. We thank you for the truth, Lord, that when this world is giving us so many lies and deception is all around us, Lord, that you are the truth, Lord, and your word is truth. We're so thankful. We thank you for the life, Lord, that you give us. Again, the world offers sin and death, Lord, and spiritual death, but Lord, you give us life and life eternal and life even abundantly right now as we obey and follow you, Lord. Pray that we would do that and that you'd continue to receive our praises as we worship you. Lord, we need you. We need your help. In Christ's name, amen.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need. Temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
We need you now. We need you this morning, Lord. Pray that you would speak to us through your word. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Pastor Darren, Lord, and just speak through him as a vessel of your truth, Lord, to us this morning, Lord, that you would just let what we hear this morning change our lives, Lord. Let it transform us, Lord, to to follow you more dearly, to follow you more closely, Lord, and to love those around us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Yeah, I'm going to use this mic to start and then. Thanks, bud. Hey, Chris isn't here. Chris, are you here somewhere? No. Sorry, I'm just used to him sitting there. Good job. All right. Well, we are thankful that you are here and that you made it. So we're going to take a minute and we're going to start off in prayer because everything that could possibly have gone wrong has gone wrong, and yet the Lord is still providing. Amen? So let's take a minute and let's give him thanks, Lord God. We are so grateful to you, Lord, that you are our provider, Lord God. We're so thankful for your word, Lord God. Lord, your word says to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever we face trials of many kinds, because we know that the testing of our faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So, Lord, in these times of trial, Lord God, we want to say thank you, Lord. We want to say help us to learn from you. Help us have the right attitude, Lord God, to do the right thing, to do things according to your will, not our own, Lord, and to handle things in a godly way and to not give in to whatever the enemy wants us to give in to, Lord. So we thank you. We pray for your blessing first on this body of believers because this is the church, Lord God. Each person here, Lord God, and they're all going through different things, but you're their Jehovah Jireh. You're their provider, Lord. You're their Jehovah Rapha. You're their healer, Lord God. You are the one who heals. You are the one who helps, Lord. You are the one who provides. So take care of each of our needs. We need you, Lord. We are not prideful, Lord God. We need you, Lord. We thank you for this church buildings or these buildings, Lord God. We thank you for the property, Lord. We ask for your protection on not only the people, but also on the land and on the buildings, Lord God, on the equipment in the buildings. Now, I should pray for that as well now, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you for all things, Lord God. We ask you to provide for the school, for the church in every area like you always have and like you always do. And so we pray for your blessing on the service, Lord God. And even as little Asdaleen comes up here and shares too a little bit, Lord, what she's learning at her CYA too, ask a little blessing on her after the announcements, Lord, and also on your word as we're in James chapter 4. So God, help us, Lord, and just anoint us, Lord, to speak and to teach and to live your word joyfully. In Jesus Christ's name and all God's people said, amen. 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 I love it. I love it. Okay, so we have a few announcements to go over, and do I use the, Betty, I see your hand raised before I even get started?
Yeah, I've been led to say
something. Okay. Okay, can I'll give you the microphone then? We're so. Okay, you be the microphone guy? We're so.
Sure.
Next door? Okay, you want to hand that to
me? I don't know how many knows, but last Sunday after me and my husband left church, we totaled our truck. And ever since then, God has been telling me I need to start leading people to him, teaching them about Jesus. And I felt God's hand on us when we had the accident. I thought it was Daryl's hand that grabbed, I thought it was Daryl that grabbed my hand during the wreck. But I know who held my hand and kept us safe. I walked away with minor injuries, just a whiplash and some back injuries, but not bad. Daryl walked away with nothing. But I'm just here to say, if there's anybody in here on the air that's listening to us, if you do not know Jesus, you need to find somebody that can teach you about Jesus. And if you can, come to your pastor, come to the deacons, or go to somebody, because it was Jesus that saved us. from being killed. And I thank God every day now for it. And even me, if you need led to Christ, come to me. Because I feel like that is God is what is wanting me to do, is lead people to Christ. And I'm here. I'm a phone call away. I can come to you, or you can come to me, or we can go have lunch, and I will lead you to Christ. But I'm just thankful that God covered us with his hands and kept us safe. Because all I could think about when we had the wreck was my children and my grandchildren. Because I have great-grandchildren I have never seen yet. And my goal is to go see my great-grandchildren and hold them. And I'm just saying, just if you need to know Christ, come to one of us. Even on air, leave us a comment on the Facebook page if you need to know Christ. I will message chat with you, or the church will, and we will lead you to Christ. Because without Christ, you ain't got nothing. Christ is what holds us together.
Thank you. You know, what I see is a body that's really ministering to one another. We didn't get out of here too late, and we had some people. And anyway, folks went with her to the hospital. Folks went, took care of her, getting her to doctor's appointments. And Daryl and Debbie, I know, is in the hospital. People visiting her. What I see is people ministering to one another. And I want to tell you, in the midst, I don't know what's going on these last couple of weeks. For those of you who don't know, or you're just coming this today, you know, we've had electrical strikes where it literally blew every building, charred walls, modems exploding 10 feet away. But the buildings didn't burn down. And even though the projector, the computer, everything got fried, the building stood. And not only that, just to let you know how God is working here, the air conditioning went down. Chris was here yesterday for hours getting that back up, and someone else was helping as well. And then I don't know if you know Nick and his family. You see him out there with the plumbing, right, working on the plumbing. Somebody actually ran over. I don't know how you would do this, ran over our backflow, but crushed it to the ground. Crushed it to the ground. So how you could possibly even do that where it's located, you mean you'd really have to work on it. But that's okay. But he's taking all that for nothing. You know, if you notice there's walls being built in the third building back there. People are blessing us for free. I know the youth are going to be moving a bunch of stuff in here this Wednesday for another family who's going to be helping. And we're going to see that all this old rip stained carpet is getting redone. This I just want to tell you, in the midst of all these things, the praises, this projector, obviously it's much brighter. We're still got to get it straight, but we got a new computer. God, you guys were very generous, and we got enough in the tithes in the last couple weeks to buy a replacement computer and this projector, which is actually better. And I got to tell you something. We got this thing at like 50% off the last few hours of this sale at this one place, and we got it. So not only that, I got to tell you this. Okay, so please forgive me. Okay, please forgive me. This is just cool. Okay, so the guy, the Spectrum guy came, and he replaced a lot of the routers and things like that. And actually, the wall sockets were blown to smithereens. He did a lot of that stuff. I don't know if I should say this on the air. Well, anyway, whoever did a lot of that stuff extra hours for free. Not only that, but wait, there's more. Then he told us the really bad news was that all the wires were all fried. That the wires were fried. Okay, so check this out. Yes, it was definitely a lightning strike. Yes, something hit hard. And but check this out. So the day before, I'll shorten the story. We saw a guy we haven't seen in about 10, 20 years. And he happens to be the number two tech at Verizon for this whole region. And he comes out on his own time. He said, I heard you guys got a lightning strike. Yeah. he's like, can I come out? And so Sunday, he was here for 8 hours rewiring all the buildings, and he did it for free. So what we see in the midst of all these trials, in the midst of all this stuff happening, is the Lord providing in the midst as we all just try to have the right attitude and be strengthened and grow. So God is good. So remember that as we go through these trials. Lord, help us to have the right attitude and the right heart, knowing that you want us to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Okay. Now I'll stop. Am I in control of the... I am? All right, fantastic. Wow, you guys are good. You even got this going? Okay. All right, so a couple quick announcements. And then there is some free Panera bread loaves in the back. Take as much as you want, bagels, loaves, desserts. Take it all in Jesus' name. We receive tithes and offerings in the back. So a little bird box back there. If you want to know where those go, we'd love to have you give. But you give as the Lord leads. We have a little sports camp that's coming up here. If you're interested at all, please see Lisa. Someone was nice enough to donate a few partial scholarships. So it's $85, and it's basically from 9 to 3 that week. And someone was nice enough to donate some scholarships. And so if you would like to go, we are going to have another baptism again. We've got about 3 or 4 people that want to be baptized. And I do want to talk to you guys about this because I don't know if you hear, listen, I don't want to be led by fear, okay? But have you heard about this flesh-eating bacteria? That's okay. So somebody, even folks at this church, know people who have died personally from this at Kukina. So that they got it at Kukina. So we might do it at our pool for this time around. So I just think that's using wisdom. So we got 3 or 4 more people that are going to be baptized. We'll give you that date shortly. Keep praying for the ones that just got baptized. If you'd like to join us for prayer Sunday mornings, please see Gary here at 9 a.m. We would love to have you in prayer. We need all the prayer warriors we can get. Men's Bible study, first and third Tuesdays here, going through the book of 1 Corinthians. And then on the second and fourth Tuesdays, we have Living Beyond Yourself, the women's Bible study. And you can see Erica. Erica, was there something? She's in the kids' church too? Okay. 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 Okay, so that's going to be next Sunday? Okay. Cool. All right, so also Whosoever's Youth Group is meeting on Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30. Thank you, guys. Please come out and just help us to get ready for that flooring. What? Oh, and this is the shirts, guys, the Whosoever's. And what it says is, I'm a whosoever, and it has the John 3:16 verse on the back. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And I am a whosoever. So if you want to grab one of those shirts, I think we'll talk about that another time. But yeah. Okay, so also a couple of quick things. We're still a little bit off. We're a little bit wonky on the thing, but we'll get that. We've got a couple of things. July 31st is a baseball camp, and that is going to be, tickets are going to be $10, and that's going to be on a Wednesday. And then a pool party Wednesday the 24th. And George, would you do me a favor, sir? Would you make sure that is James 4B that you have up on the screen? Oh, yeah, it's up here now, right. Does it say James 4B or does it say something else? I see. Jorge, I can just tell. Would you mind coming up here? It's actually James 4B, as in bodacious. Thank you, buddy. I could tell these were out of order, and I'm thinking, oh, that's all right. Well, why don't we do this? Forgotten God, I think it's our last Bible study, and I'm going to be out of town this day too. Sorry.
Two more?
Okay, two more. Forgotten God, Thursday nights. So much for it being an 8-week course. But 6:30 to 8, if you'd like to, any more information, see Mark or Gary on that. And then, well, he's getting that set up. Asdaline, can you come up here for a second? Thanks, honey. Okay, for those of you who do not know, a lot of our teens and some of our youth go to a training, Christian Youth in Action, and what they're doing is they're sharing the gospel message around at different churches, youth little youth camps all around. And so we've had Hezekiah come up here and share a message. We've had Olivia come up here and share a message. And just what they're learning and what they're being trained at the Christian Youth in Action. And we just want to give them an opportunity to share a little bit. So we asked Asdaline also, who's getting trained as a teen. And she is going to share a mission story. And so can I have you use this microphone? Is that because I don't know where I would attach. I'm used to the. So we're going to have you use this microphone, and we're going to pray for you, okay? And I just want you to think, these are just all just oversized kids. That's all they are, and so don't worry about it. And I'm probably the biggest kid of them all. All right, so we're just going to take a minute. We're going to pray for you, and you can share your mission story, and then we'll get into the Word, okay? That sound great? Father, I thank you for Asdaline and for her heart that just wants to serve you, Lord God. And I thank you for all the other teens that are serving at all these different churches around the summer, Lord, giving up their time to share the gospel with these little kids, Lord God. So I pray, Lord, that you just help her just to share with these big kids, Lord God, of what your word has to say, and to share with us some of the things that she's been learning, Lord. And just help her. Give her your words, Lord, and your heart, Lord, and just like she would share with us, just like she would share with those little kids. So help her, Lord, as she learns to take a step of faith, because I know this is scary. So help her just to take the step of faith, Lord God, and just to be encouraged and to bless us with your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Okay, so I'm going to give you this. Is that okay?
Yes.
You can do it, kid.
Yes, okay. put this here. So, hi everyone, my name is Asdaline, and today I'm going to share about a missionary. This is a true story. His name is Hudson Taylor, and he wanted to do something big ever since he was actually 5 years old. So let's find out like what he did over the years as from a kid to a grown man. So this is Hudson right here. When he was 5 years old, he was listening to what his parents were talking about, and they were talking about that not enough missionaries were going to China to share the gospel to them. So then Hudson, right there, said that when he becomes a man, he will become a missionary to China. And so the parents were happy, but the only problem was Hudson was always sick all the time. He was very small and sick that he wasn't able to go to school, and he had to be homeschooled ever since he was ever since he was 11 years old. And so, but during the years when he was being homeschooled, he started to love to read a lot. So he, every single time, whenever his mother read to him, he became like, in the afternoons or morning times, while she was sewing, his mother, he would read a book to her, even the Bible, and she would be listening to him. And so, yes, he began to love reading a lot. So, but he began to love to read a lot. He started to love reading so much that he planned that he was going to take a few candles so that he can light them and then read them at night. Now, back then, they did not have flashlights or phones or any sort of device that we have nowadays. They had lamps or oil lamps, and they also had candles. So, what? Oh, wait. Keep it like that there to not show it yet. There you go. Yep. So... So what happened is that, so when no one was there, like at least so he thought, he quietly tiptoed to the living room, opened a drawer, and took a few candles that were small and shoved them in his pocket. And he was about to dash back to his room, but Hudson's parents had a visitor, and so he told Hudson to come over here because he wanted to talk to him. And so the visitor was sitting next to a fireplace, and Hudson was standing next to it while facing the visitor. And the more he stood there, the more worried he got about the candles. So finally, when Mother said, "It's time to go to bed," he ran back to his room, put his hands in his pockets, and there were no candles. It was wax, greasy wax, all over his pockets and hands. And so his mother came into the room and saw the whole mess of candle wax all over him. And she wasn't angry or anything. Like when your mother gives you that look when you're about to steal, like, a cookie from a jar? She was like... That's what she was like to Hudson. And Hudson was really sad. He never wanted to do that ever again. That was the most one of the most important days that he will remember as a kid. So, fast forward for a couple more years. Hudson is 13 years old. And back then, when you're 13, you go to work. So what Hudson did is that he worked at a pharmacy with his father. He would mix medicines, he would put them in bottles, hang them up, and even made deliveries for them. But he was sad for some reason. And at first, no one knew why, but then it was because Hudson stopped reading his Bible, he stopped praying, and he really stopped listening to devotions too, because his father used to like tell him devotions probably like in the morning, evenings, afternoons, but he stopped listening to them. And all Hudson was thinking about, he wants to get a new house, a fine horse, and lots of money. Yes. So, fast forward for a few more years. Hudson's 17, and he had a day off. And so he was home alone. It was just him and his sister, but his sister was probably doing some activities. His sister is named Amelia, by the way. And his mother was far away from, like, she was somewhere, like, maybe visiting a friend or something. And so Hudson was really bored that day, and he started to look in his father's office to look if there was any books that he would like to read. So far, there was nothing interesting, so then he decided to look in a basket, and that basket had little booklet tracks. So he just thought to himself, it's better than nothing. So he took one, went to a barn, and lay down and started reading it. Back then, the booklets were, like, pretty big. So Hudson began to read the whole booklet, and the more he read, the more confused he was, because in the booklet, some of the words, it said, "It is finished." And Hudson thought to himself, what was finished? So he kept reading, and then Hudson realized Jesus died on the cross so that his sins will be forgiven. And so he finally understood that. And so what Hudson did is that he knelt down and prayed to God to forgive his sins. And that and on that same day, Hudson became a true believer of Jesus Christ. And he got so excited that he decided, like, he wanted to tell someone so badly. So he went to his sister Amelia and told her that he became a believer of Jesus Christ. And she was happy. But then Hudson told her not to tell Mom because he wanted to tell her himself. A few hours, minutes or later has passed, and Hudson's mom returned home. And Hudson ran to her, telling her, "Mother, Mother, I have some good news." But Mother said, "I know." And then she hugged him. But he was confused, like, how did you know? Did Amelia told you? And she said no, because she said on her way home she prayed to God for Hudson to become a believer of Jesus Christ. And what was amazing is that it happened the same time while he was reading the booklet. So God answered Hudson's mother that same day. In that same moment, he became a believer. So he answered her prayers. And as Hudson grew up, he was finally a fully grown adult. He finally, like, every single Sunday after church, he would go out with his sister Amelia and to go to houses that he knew that people did not go to church and would share the gospel to them. So, yeah. So he'd been doing this for like maybe like months by now. And then Hudson finally stopped and prayed to God one night, telling him that he surrenders himself all to God and that he would do anything for him and go anywhere. And guess what God told him? Go, yes, go and become a missionary to China. And Hudson remembered, when I was 5 years old, I wanted to become a missionary in China. So he thought to himself, I must not waste time. I must go. I must get ready. So what he did is that he trained himself. Like, first, he started reading the Bible day and night, because every missionary must know their Bible, the whole thing. So he also ate more healthier stuff, and so that, like, he ate healthy food so that he became stronger, because, you know, he was always sick all the time. So, and also, sorry, what? There you go. Yes, thank you. And then he also did a lot of exercises, and also he even slept on hard beds, because as a missionary, you need to be prepared that you wouldn't know that if you're actually going to sleep on a normal bed or the ground. So he needed to prepare himself with that. So as he was doing this, he was also beginning to learn different languages, especially Chinese. But he knew that was not enough. So he discovered that there was a pastor around his town, and he had a book all about China. So he found that pastor, went to him, and asked for the book about China. So, but then the pastor asked, why do you want to read this book? And then Hudson replied, God has sent me to become a missionary to China. But then the pastor asked again, how would you get there? Hudson says, I don't know. I just need to trust in God no matter what. Hudson left with the book and began his training. And so, once he was finished reading about all about China, he discovered that in China, there were a lot of sick and homeless people over there. And so Hudson remembered, he used to work at a pharmacy with his father, and he knows some things about medicine, but in order for him to actually, like, there are different sicknesses, so he needs to know, like, to make more different types of medicine in order to, like, cure these certain sicknesses. So he decided to go find a job that would help him to become a better medic. And so he met a doctor. First, Hudson prayed to God to help him to find a good teacher or maybe to find a job. And God answered his prayers. Hudson met a doctor named Richard Hardy, Dr. Hardy. And he was a very nice man. And he was able and he was willingly to give Hudson the job. Hudson packed his things and moved to a place called City Hall. It's a U with an A instead of an A. And so, over there, while he was working with Dr. Hardy, in City Hall, there were a lot of sick and homeless people over there, so it was a perfect opportunity for Hudson to actually train for him to go to China. So he will help the sick and give the needy what they need. And he would actually only do this, like, after Sunday. So he did exactly what he did before when he was closer on his younger years. Like, he's been, like, training to do this for probably, like, a few years by now. And, While feeding them, while helping the needy and poor, he would pray for them, read the Bible to them, and if they were letting him to do it, he would give them tracts. So, but as the days passed, City Hall has become a bit more of a dangerous city. Like, it was no longer, like, whenever Hudson would, like, maybe take shortcuts or go to the alleys to visit the homeless, he encountered some pretty bad people. But, sadly, this is the end of the story. So, part of it, I'm leaving you a cliffhanger. So if you want to know what happened to Hudson and if he got hurt or maybe he was even able to go to China, you're going to have to come back next time to find that out.
I knew you could do it.
Thank you.
Hey, just out of curiosity, weren't you guys some missionaries to China? So just for, like, in a one-minute caption, were there any lasting effects from Hudson going to China? Why don't you share that?
Yes.
Talk about Hudson. What happened
next? You know the rest of the story.
She knows it better than we do.
Well, he went to China, and he helped the people. He got the job with the doctor, and he was able to learn all about the medicine and things, and God made a way for him to go on the ride to China, and he got there and he helped serve the people in China, and he married and he had kids there.
Can you tell the next part?
That's right, and then he was able to go and start a mission where a whole bunch of people were mobilized to be missionaries to China, and he started a whole movement of missionaries going from England to serve in China, and the effects of it are still there. These people from that mission organization that he started are still in China today, serving the Lord there and bringing the gospel to places where people had never heard about Jesus.
But there is that part about him being ill. He started off his life as a very sickly child, and he tried really hard to build his immunities and get himself prepared. But it was sickness that actually brought him back home from China, and he was questioning the Lord. He's like, why? I have this heart and this desire and this motivation to serve you, God, and why would you not give me a stronger body and, you know, the ability to do this work? And I think he even became depressed because of it. He went back home to England, and it was because of his illness and being sent back home to England with all the experience that he had that he was able to motivate and mobilize hundreds and thousands of other people to go. So it was just, we don't know what God's doing. We ask and question, and we think we have all the answers, but God was even using his sickness to fulfill the gospel.
Amen.
Message.
Well, that was an awesome story. Thank you, Azaleen, for sharing that with us. Now, if you would open your Bibles, your wonderful Bibles, to James chapter 4. Elijah, if you wouldn't mind grabbing some of those Bibles for me and passing those out. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand, and Elijah will deliver one right to you. We are in James chapter 4. We just finished up James chapter 3, where we talked about taming the tongue. And I know that was... a lot of people have been struggling with taming the tongue, but we can under God's power. We finished the James chapter 3. Talking about two paths of wisdom. Are we eating at God's table or are we eating at the world's table? Are we giving all that the God has to offer and taking in his heart, his word, his spirit, being around his people, hitting those Bible studies, transforming our minds and renewing our hearts, or are we taking what the world has to give us? We are in James chapter 4, and we talked about James chapter 4, where it says, I think we got through a whole three verses last time, where we talked about what causes fights and quarrels among you, war versus peace. And it says, don't they come from the desires that you have within you, the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 1. Don't they come from, what causes those wars, those fights, those quarrels among you, don't they come from the desires And that word in Greek is where we get the word hedonism. It's hedonai, those desires. And it's all selfish, self-focused desires that battle within you. You want something and you don't get it. You kill and you covet and you fight because you don't get what you want, and you quarrel and fight. And we see that in churches too. We talked about that, you know. God desires unity in our churches, and it's a beautiful thing, but all too often we're walking in the flesh and not the spirit. And so a lot of the early church messages were all about correction as people were biting and attacking each other. And we even see that today, don't we, in too many churches where there's too much time where people are hurting each other and slandering each other and jockeying for power and political blah, blah, blah. That's all stuff of the flesh, not of the spirit. And those pleasures, those when we focus on self and what we want instead of what God wants, it chokes the life out, like in Luke 8:14. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear the word, but as they go on their way, they are choked out by life's worries, riches, and the pleasures, that hedone. It chokes out the life from them, and it'll choke out the life from us. We talked about prayer, where it says in verse, I'm bleeding, in verse 2, he says, hey, you want something, you quarrel and fight, but you don't ask God for it. And it says, when you do ask, you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives. You know, and again, the purpose of prayer is not to get our will done from heaven, but instead to get his will done on earth. Jesus prayed that. There's almost like this little spiritual thing where we don't want to pray God's will to be done. That means you don't have any faith. That's ridiculous. That's exactly what we want to be praying. We want God's will to be done. Listen, apart from Jesus Christ, right? We're selfish, self-centered people. Let's be honest. Isn't that true? Like Sigmund Freud said, I want what I want, what I want. This was his big discovery. The Bible knew about it all this time. Huh? Isn't that amazing? So listen, we left off in verse 4, and it says one of probably the most difficult, the hardest things to hear in James. And listen, some of these things that James says is hard. It's not easy. It's not pleasant, but it is true. And we need to listen. Listen, I love to be encouraged and I by the word, but I also sometimes I have to be challenged. Sometimes I have to be rebuked. God's word does all these things. So we have to allow him to do whatever he wants in our lives. And it says something pretty powerful. And this is not my word, so you can get mad at James. He uses the terminology, you remember that in verse 4, it says, you adulterous people, you know, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Friendship with the world is hatred towards God. And what he's saying, the Jews would have known what that meant, being God's people, because many times, you remember, it likens God's people to his bride. And so in Isaiah 54:5, for the Lord your maker is your husband, and the Lord of hosts is his name. And so when we think about that, listen, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, in a sense, you've become the bride of Christ. Right? You're in a relationship with him. This is not religion. This is not just coming to church, right? That's empty. Isn't it? I'm in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I am bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. For better or for worse, you know, for worth. For better or for worse. For better or for worse, till death do us part. I'm his and he is mine. Right? And so when he says things like this, he's saying, listen, James is saying, hey, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the word, and that word philia, that word for friendship, philia, it means an emotional affiliation. It means a closeness. It's where we get our word to kiss from. So he's like, he's not saying, hey, Christian, when you stumble, or he's not saying that, or when you mess up now and again, because don't we all do that? But he's saying, listen, if you're having a relationship with the world, right? If you're having this love, this emotional attachment, this close relationship, he's like, man, that is not of the Lord. And so he goes on to say, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Zoinks! But it says, as anyone chooses. See, it's your choice. We serve a God who doesn't force us to do anything. He's not going to force you to get saved. He's not going to force you to save him. To get saved, he loves you. You can come freely if you so choose. But it says, anyone chooses to be a friend of the world, he becomes an enemy of God. Now, also, I mentioned this before, but he doesn't become God's enemy. God's not looking at you going, oh, you're a friend of the world, I hate you now. And I watched a commentator that I love said, you know, see, so if you are involved with the world, God hates you. And I thought, oh my, I don't even want to tell you his name because I don't want to embarrass him. But I was like, what? That isn't true. Listen, because the Bible says while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? Right. What does that show you? Does that show you he hates us? What does that show you? He loves us. Absolutely. Now, he hates that sin, right? He wants no part of it. He wants no part of it in your life, too. Do you know why? Because he knows where that worldliness is going to take you. It's going to lead lots of pain and lots of suffering in Jesus' name. And so he's trying to help you to avoid that pain, right? He knows where it's going to lead. And you remember that word, they used it of Jesus in a derogatory way, that same word, philia, you know? When Herod and Pilate became friends, they became very close. When they killed Jesus, that's how the world's friendship is. But Jesus used that same word, greater love has no one than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus says, I no longer call you a servant, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. He says, but you know me now, and I call you friend. Listen, I am a friend of Jesus. Can I tell you something? I told somebody this last week, and they were floored. Jesus is my best friend. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my wife. She's number two. I love my kids. Number three. I got one of my best friends here today. Number four. But my best friend is Jesus. I have an intimate personal relationship with him that changes the way I think. It changes the way I speak. Changes the way I talk. Changes the way I live. Now listen. I have friends that don't know the Lord, and I love them very much. But honestly, my heart is the same as the Lord's heart. We need to save them, because you know that the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Zoinkaramas. That's going to be the payment. You want no part of that. All right, so here we go. The next section here. Now, unfortunately, I love teaching the first bunch of verses here. I was really struggling this week, and I love to teach the word. Love it, love it, love it, love the Bible. There's so much in here. But this is probably one of the most difficult to understand verses in James. And I listened to about a bazillion people. And the bottom line is, the way the Greek is written, it could be interpreted different ways. So I thought about just not even talking about it. And somebody once said, hey, if you don't know what it means, and there's a couple of different meanings, then just pick one and preach it like you mean it 100%. And I'm thinking, isn't that deceitful? Of course it is. So I'm just going to tell you, this is what it says. Here's what the folks think. I'm unsure, okay, because of how it's done. It says this in verse 5. It says, or do you think the scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intently? Well, here's what it means. This is why it was so confusing, and I almost got stuck here. But okay, so first off, it doesn't use those exact words anywhere in the Bible, that exact wording, but the concepts are all throughout the Bible. So as the scripture says, but here's how it could be interpreted. Okay, number one, like the NIV or the NLT says, do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate about the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. And so what he's saying is he saying that is God jealously yearning for our best, the devotion of our spirit which he puts in us? And that could be because, you know, in Exodus, like 20 verse 5, it says our God's a jealous God. Now, there's a difference though, between God being jealousy for someone and then jealousy of someone. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm jealous of someone, I'm jealous. I wish I had her wife. I wish I had that car. I wish I had their house. I wish I had their money. I wish I had that. You know what I mean? Oh, I wish I should have that. That's a negative thing. Being jealous for someone's good, that's something completely different. Does that make sense? I'm jealous for their good, for their best. I want everything that God has for my kids in the Lord. And I am jealous for their good, and I'm going to protect them in those areas. Does that make sense? So, yes, it could mean that. Or, as like the ASV says, or think ye that the scripture speaketh in vain, does the spirit which he made to dwell in us long unto envying? So is it that the spirit within us jealously yearns for the full devotion of our heart? That could be it. Okay, like it says in Hebrews 12, throw off every sin that hinders you, anything that entangles you, and run the race marked out for you. Run it freely. Get rid of all that stuff so you can be fully devoted to the Lord. Or does it mean this? Where the King James Version says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwell in us lusteth to envy? And some of you guys are like zoning out, and I don't blame you, because like I zoned out after about 20 hours. You know, okay, in the Greek, is it a big capital S or a little s? So this would mean, is it our fleshly human spirit lusting after the things of the world? Okay, so I don't know if it's our fleshly spirit is what that means, because it's saying, hey, you adult friendship with the world is enmity with God. I'm going to go with that. I don't really know, so I reserve the right to be wrong, and I'm moving on. But when it says, like, our flesh, like, lusts after those things of the world, you know, and God doesn't want us to be friends with the world in that sense, there's almost like a tug of war going on, you know, between our flesh and our spirit. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit lusts against the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, okay? They're fighting each other, okay? In our hearts and in our spirit. And so God's saying, hey, I don't want you to give in to your fleshly way of thinking. That selfish, self-centered way that's only going to lead to sin and death. Don't go the world's way. Listen to what I'm saying. And so Charles Spurgeon said something about this verse that I liked. It said, the whole history of mankind shows the failure of evil lustings to obtain their object. This is the tragic irony of a life lived after worldly and fleshly desires. It never reaches the goal it gives everything for. Isn't that true? Think about if you've ever lusted after something. Maybe it was money, or maybe it was position, or maybe it was power, or maybe it was pleasure or passion or whatever it is. Unfortunately, if you've given in to those lustful desires, you know that it's never enough. And it leaves you. It might give you that immediate stim, right, of feeling, you know, because sin is pleasurable for a season, right? But in the end, you feel worse, don't you? That's where it's going to lead you. And that's where Satan wants you to be, because he wants to kick you down. He wants you to be enslaved by your fleshly passions. And God's saying, no, man, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. He's saying, I don't want you to be held back and to be in a constant state of conflict with yourself and with me. I want you to be free. You know, the Bible is really clear. In Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, he said, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. You'll always harvest what you plant. Those who live to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. Hey, I don't see that on a bumper sticker. Have you? That's in the Word, though. And is God saying this to ruin your fun? Do you know what I'm saying? What was that? He's doing this to rescue you. Yes. Now, we always think we know better. I can handle it, right? I can handle the sin. I can do the... No, you can't. He knows where it's going to end up. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Listen, don't you feel great when you're doing something obedient to the Lord? Especially, okay, I'm going to ask you. Boy, this is a rough day for me. especially when it's rough, when you're choosing to obey the Lord, no matter what the cost, and you do it afterwards, don't you feel so empowered, so encouraged, so fantastic, because he's provided for you? Yes, Mark, would you bring that microphone there, Junior? Asparagus? Oh, yeah, right, you don't like that, sorry. Thank you, bro.
So is verse 8 telling us that we can have that right now? We don't have to wait until we get into eternity? Or is it saying we will have it right now, so you choose?
Yes. I think what God is saying, both. You have that power right now. In fact, what it says, if we go back into James, it says in James, it says, but he gives more grace. Okay? God is so awesome. We don't have to be bound up by that sin. If we're believers in Jesus Christ, he placed his Holy Spirit within us. That's not a little catchphrase. Do you know what I'm saying? Hey, you got the Spirit in you. Hey, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? This is a reality. That's why it's so important to, like Hudson Taylor said, you can read the Bible all you want, but it wasn't until he asked and he got saved where God did this transforming work. Listen, when it says God's grace, you know, and it means God's unmerited favor. It means God's power. So when he gives you his grace, that means he's giving you his power to overcome whatever it is, okay? I can get scared talking in front of people. I can. If it wasn't for the Lord, I would absolutely not be here. I'd be at home, where it's safe, watching Netflix. Be me and the Lord, maybe my Bible, a little devotional, you know. But no, he doesn't want that for me. He doesn't want that for you. He says, I want them to learn to suffer, you know, and put up with him. But he says, in like he said to Paul, Paul was in there praying. He's like, Lord, I'm struggling with this thing, and Satan is buffeting me, and I got this thorn in my flesh, and what is it, Lord? And he prayed three times over and over again, and God answered him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. And he would say that to some of you here today. Thank you. Oh, that's so nice. He would say, my grace is sufficient for you. It's sufficient for me.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Be still and know that he is God. That's right. My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is perfected in weakness. So many times Christians, thank you, Robbie. So many times Christians are saying, they'll say something like, Pastor Darren, I can't do it. I can't get rid of this sin. I can't. Yes, you can. If you are in Christ, you can do it. 100%. You got the power. And the power comes from him, not from you. If you try to do it on your own, yes, you can't do it. You're going to be a miserable little person. You're going to be a frustrated little Christian because you don't have it. You don't have, there's a power outage. If you're not plugged into Jesus Christ, there's a power outage. But with Christ, they're pumping the wattage into this cottage. Okay, listen. There was a time when the Sadducees were questioning Jesus on all this stuff and trying to get all religious. And Jesus just stopped them and said, you know what? This is in Matthew 22:29. He says, you know what your mistake is? Your mistake is you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. Listen, the Holy Spirit infuses you with power as you trust in him. As you put that word from your melon into your heart and into your life, things change. If you just keep it up here, do you know what's going to change? Absolutely nothing. You'll just be a little knowledgeable Pharisee. You'll have all the right answers, but no power in your life. That is not living. That is not the abundant life that Jesus Christ wants for you. The abundant life is living under the power of the Holy Spirit, trusting his word, obeying him no matter what. Does that make sense? Listen, Ephesians 1, 19 to 20 says, this is Apostle Paul praying for the Ephesians, the church of Ephesus. He says, I pray that you guys, and this is my prayer for you, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. He says, this is the same mighty power, the same, that raised Christ Jesus from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heavenly realms. What that's saying is, whatever you're going through, the very same power that raised Christ from the dead, that rolled away the tomb, right, that gave us eternal life, he says, I love you, and I'm putting that in you. And as you trust in me, that power is available to you. Will you draw from it? You get that? Listen, I get it. My head says, I can't. I get it. But you know what? That's not what God's word says. God's word doesn't tell me I can't do all things through Christ who strengthens me, does it? Huh. Okay, it says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I can either listen to my own melon that says, you're a failure, you're a loser, quit, don't try, you can't do it anyway, give up, you're not strong enough, blah, 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 blah. Or I can choose to say, you know what, I'm taking that, I'm crumpling it all up, and I'm throwing it out the window, and I'm going to trust in what God's word has to say for me. Because that's the truth. You heard Jonathan say it earlier. God says, my word is truth. He says in John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. God, your word is truth. So I take that word and I say, yes, Lord, I can do all things through Christ and give me strength. You can get through this sermon. You can get through this counseling session. You can get through this fear. You can get through this struggle. You can get through whatever it is as you trust in him. Does that make sense? Or you could just say, go back to your own logical self, listen to the world or listen to yourself. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And I don't say that in a prideful way. I just mean I'm just going to trust him. I simply trust him. Oh, you do. That's fantastic. We'll get to that in a second. It says, but he gives more grace. So whatever sin that you're struggling with, listen, I miss her, but I shouldn't say poor Debbie Jo anymore because she's with the Lord in heaven. But Debbie Jo just recently went to be with the Lord. She was a crack addict for decades. And now she's free in Christ Jesus. Only God, don't, whatever it is that you think I'm the only one, this is the one sin that God can't break, liar. That's the enemy whispering those lies to you. Don't you listen to them. You don't have to be bound by anything. As you trust in him, as you renew your heart and your mind and apply it to your life, God will give you that power. And don't you doubt it. It says this. I'm sorry. Oh, you got it. I'm sorry, you're only allowed to raise your hand one time. Actually, I'm just kidding. You can all raise your hand and make comments if you want, if you're new here. So, yeah.
You know,
even if you're not new here, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Verse 18 that goes before this is one of the most powerful that I've ever read. And it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of his glory and his inheritance in the saints? He opens our hearts.
Yes.
So that we can receive the understanding and the incredible greatness of God's power in us who believe in him.
Even that faith is a gift.
Absolutely.
Lord, help me. You know, I think of that one guy when he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. Do you remember the story? His disciples were trying to cast out the demon out of this guy's son. Do you remember that story? And they couldn't do it. And so they're like, oh, Lord, we don't know what we're doing. And Jesus came down with some of the other disciples. And you know, he said, Lord, can you help him? Can you? This demon throws him into the fire, throws him in the... He said, can you do it? And he said, if you believe. And he said, I believe. Lord, help me with my unbelief. And you know what he did right there? He healed him. He healed that kid's son. So listen, sometimes we have to say, Lord, will you help me with my unbelief? Even that he'll supply to you. He is so faithful. He goes on to say this. He goes on to say, that is why the scripture says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That's a verse you actually do find in, you find it in 1 Peter. You'll find it in Proverbs chapter 3. And that word, God opposes the proud. Listen, when you're prideful and when you're saying, I can do it on my own, I'm going to find a worldly way, whatever it is, instead of just saying, Lord, I need you to help me. I trust in you. When we're looking for that kind of stuff, and we're saying, I don't need God, I can do it on my own. Well, God says, you know what? If you're going to have that attitude, it says God's going to oppose that. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That word opposes in Greek is a word. It's actually made up of two words. It's antitazo, and it's actually a military word. And the picture is of this. It means to resist, aggressively resist. So it's a picture, the little word picture, since it's a military word, is of like a commander-in-chief setting up his army, his troops, to go to war against someone. Think about that for a minute. So if God opposes antitazo, if he opposes antitazo, he's setting up in battle array against the proud. He's setting up his arm. Here's what that tells me. As a prideful person apart from Jesus, I don't need that. I got enough issues on my own. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't need the creator of all the universe to set up a battle array against me. Now, is he doing that because he hates me? No, he knows that pride is going to bring destruction to my heart and to my life. Even that's done out of love. So God opposes the proud. Listen to this. Listen, if you're prideful here today, I get it. You would find you'd be hard pressed to find more prideful person than me apart from Jesus Christ. However, you don't see that, hopefully ever, or very, almost ever, because I've learned that to fight against God, can I tell you something? You're going to lose. You might be able to go a few more rounds, but let me tell you, it brings a whole lot of pain and a whole lot of misery to you and to those who love you around you. Yeah, you know what? That's true. Anthony just said he could take you out in the first round. You know what? Yes. But I think, you know, sometimes that little extra suffering, if you're a little extra prideful, like myself, that could actually be helpful. Listen to this. This is in Isaiah 13 in the New Living Translation. He says, I, the Lord, will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their sin. Here's what he says. I will crush the arrogance of the proud and humble the pride of the mighty. Yeah, that's a big negatory for me. Let me tell you, as a person who has experienced the crushing of that arrogance, can I tell you, it's better that you just give it up. It's better that you just humble yourself. We'll get to that in just a moment. But that pride is going to ruin you. Listen to this. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction. That's a promise. Hey, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Have you guys ever been walking in that prideful spirit? Gaboom. If you have, you know it's just a time before you are flat on your face. Not a pleasant place to be. Listen to this. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there's no room for God. Listen, God is saying, if you're going to be walking with the Lord, there needs to be room at the end. Do you know what I'm saying? You want to open your heart to whatever he has for you, however humbling it might be. Let him do his work. Allow him to do his work in your heart and your mind. Open yourself up to whatever he has. You know what? Because he only has good for you. And even the hard things, even if he's chiseling some of that pride away, ching, 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 ching. Well, that kind of hurts as he's a chiseling. Sorry, I chose you for the chisel, but that's just what it is. As he's chiseling away, that doesn't feel good, right? But he's creating. It says that you are God's poem, that you're poema. You are God's masterpiece. Wow, I don't see myself as the masterpiece. You know, I watched a video one time. I see myself as the Picasso. But God is saying, you're my masterpiece, and I'm going to chisel you away, and I'm going to chisel that selfish self stuff away until it reflects me. Pride leads to conflict. It leads to war. Those who take advice are wise. That's Proverbs 13:10. So I would just say this. Here's some advice. Okay. It says, God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. Antitazo. So here's some advice. Okay. If pride leads to this war with God, this conflict with God and others, listen to this advice of what he has to say. God's trying to say, I'm trying to save you some pain. Here's all about the war. It's giving in to your self-centered wants, your self-centered needs. Now I'm going to tell you how to have peace. I oppose the proud. I oppose that selfishness. I oppose that self-centeredness. All that stuff is totally the world's way. It's against everything I stand for. But I'm going to give you some advice. God opposes the proud, antitazo, but he gives grace to the humble. So listen, here's some advice. The Bible says, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Again, never saw that on a bumper sticker. But it says, those who humble themselves will be exalted. Can I just encourage you? Humble yourself. You are only here. The gifts that you have, whether you're smart or you've got talents, or you're creative, or you're good at talking to people, or whatever it is, the only way you have that is because God has given that to you. He's gifted it to you. Amen. If you think otherwise, you're mistaken. Respectfully, I say that. Luke 14:11. And you know what? Sometimes I'm like, well, when I was earlier in my Christian walk, I humbled myself. And I was like I'm ordering at McDonald's, you know, like through the drive-thru. You know, I humbled myself. I'd like an order of humility, please. You know, okay. 60 seconds. 2 minutes. Lord. That's not always how it works with the Lord. He's on a different timetable. So the Bible would say this, and I would say this to you. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, or at the proper time, 1 Peter 5:6 says. He will take care of you, but he'll do it at the proper time, on his timetable, not yours. Do you know what I'm saying? So if he doesn't exalt you, if you humble yourself, I want to be exalted immediately. Ta-da! No, you don't understand humility, Darren. You just wait. Just wait. Just do what's right in my eyes. I'll take care of you in the long run. It comes to trusting the Lord. Even to be saved, listen, even to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 18, you know, 1-4, he said, except you be converted and become like little children, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. God sees things differently. Let me tell you, the world will not respect your humility. They will look at that humility as foolishness, stupidity, weakness. But God says, hey, that meekness isn't weakness. That is strength and power under control. I'm sure when those guards came to get Jesus, do you remember that in the garden? They came to get him, all these troops, right? And he's like, hey, I was teaching every day in the temple. Why didn't you get me there? But he comes with all these troops and all these, and Peter grabs a sword and he cuts off one of the servant's ears. And he's like, Abdoi, he didn't say Abdoi, that's my translation. He said, Peter, don't you know I can call down legions of angels right now? when he stood before Pilate, you know, Pilate's like, he wasn't saying anything, you know. And Jesus, Pilate's like, don't you know, Jesus, that I have the power of your life and death? He said, you have absolutely no power unless it was given to you by my Father. Listen, just because you're choosing humility, it actually takes a lot more strength and power to do that, because you're having to trust in the Lord and not your flesh. Does that make sense? Job 22:29, one of the right things his friend said, one of the few. But he says, if you are attacked and knocked down, you will know that there is someone who will lift you up again. Yes, he will save the humble. I love this one in Psalm 18:27. Here's his promise. You will rescue the humble. I love that. But you will humiliate the proud. To me, that's just saying, listen, I want to be on the rescuing side of that. I don't need to be on the humiliation side of it. And one more I think I have. Psalm 69:32 in the Living Bible. I like how it puts it. It says, the humble shall see their God at work for them. No wonder they will be so glad. All who seek for God shall live in that joy. And listen, when you choose that humility, you will absolutely see God work for you. You'll see God work in you, around you, and it'll be on his timetable. And it is already almost time. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So much stuff. Stop here. Oh, I got such good stuff. Oh, who said that? That was... Okay. All right. Yeah, I just don't want to. That's the bottom line. Put a lot of work into that. Sorry. Right. Yeah, I got it. You're absolutely right. I know you're right. I just need to shut up. So here's the bottom line. C.S. Lewis said it too. True humility is not thinking less of yourself. And I want to make sure when we talk about humility, there's almost like this thing, I'm a worm, I'm a loser, I stink. That's not humility. It's not thinking less about yourself. It's just thinking about yourself less. You're not thinking about, even that's self-centered. I'm always focused on me. I'm such a loser. I'm such a worm. You're still being self-centered. You're still focusing on yourself. God wants you to say, you know what? Lord, I'm going to focus on you. What do you want? I'm going to focus on others. How can I help others? I want to encourage you in Jesus' name. That's his heart towards you. And as you humble yourself in these situations, God will do exceedingly abundantly more than you could have ever asked for or imagined. Because that is your God. And if you're stuck in that cycle of pride or self, he's going to do however long that takes. If you want to do laps in the desert for 40 years, he'll let you do it. Could I just encourage you? Just humble yourself. Whatever you want, God, that's what I want to do. And the next... the next time we get together, we're going to talk about, there's about seven things here that God wants to show us on how to have peace. And it's resisting the devil. There's so much good stuff in what's about to come. And so let's just take a minute and let's pray and let's ask the Lord to do whatever it takes in each one of us to make us humble vessels. Can we do that? All right. Father, I just want to say thank you so much, Lord, for all that you're doing, Lord God, in this body, Lord. I even say thank you for last week, Lord God, when you were having everyone pray for one another and people humbling themselves saying, I need prayer, and then other folks trusting in you and going to pray for them, Lord God. I thank you that your word does not return void, Lord, and accomplishes the purpose you set it out for, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, if there's any area of our life that we're being stubborn with you, where we're digging in our heels and saying, I don't want to listen to that, or I'm going to make the scripture say what I want it to say so it's more convenient for me. Whatever that is, Lord God, we would crumple that up and throw it out the window, Lord God. And we would just simply trust in your word, Lord. So help us to receive everything you have for us, Lord God. Thank you for the teens, even teaching the Sunday school right today, Lord. Thank you for Asdaline getting up here for the first and just sharing in front of adults. That can be very scary, Lord. Thank you that she was willing to trust in you, Lord God. And Lord, if there's anything that you're speaking to someone here about, Lord God, whatever it is, maybe you're wanting them to step out in an area. Maybe you're wanting them to humble themselves. They would just be obedient to what you're saying to them, Lord. And Lord, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, just like Betty said, Lord, would you teach them, just like you taught each one of us, to number our days, Lord God? Because we really don't know when our days are over, Lord. So help anyone here who does not know you right now humble themselves, bend their knee to your sovereignty, Lord, and say, Lord, I want to follow you willingly, Lord God. I want to do, just like Hudson Sayle said, whatever you want me to do, Lord God. I'll go wherever you want me to go, Lord God. I'll say, I'll be whatever you want me to be, Lord God, for your glory, Lord. Not for mine, for your glory, Lord. Help revive every heart in here, Lord, to love you and serve you with that reckless abandon and to trust in your word no matter what the cost. We thank you, Lord, for every person here, and we pray that you would bless them with that humble spirit, Lord. You would do whatever it takes in their lives and in my life to have that humble and contrite heart before you. We love you and we bless you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.